Blog Talk Radio.
The Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, whose remarkable quantum meditation readings provide a view of the beyond, just like Edgar Cayce, along with your co-host, Doug Bentley. Now, get ready to call in and talk at 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421 on the Global Village. Now, here's your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Well, good evening, everyone. We are having a gigantic pre-spring snowstorm here in my part of the world. The snow is about 6 or 8 inches deep, and the lightning is happening here tonight. That is extremely unusual to have lightning in a snowstorm. For all of you who are on the West Coast, the South in Spain, or other places that are listening to the show, I know snow is something you're not familiar with. Thank God that you're not. But we are having it here today. So there might be some technical glitches. We don't know. Maybe lightning's going to strike here and, blow up the computer, whatever. Let's be hopeful and say, no. We won't energize that negative stuff. We're going to talk about good stuff tonight. Humans, as you know, humans come equipped with a full array of emotions. What are emotions, and can they be constructive or destructive forces in our body? What should a person do emotionally to build up the body? Is it possible that if your mind is in control of your emotions, then will you be in control of yourself? Is it possible, and as we can think our way through here to this point of, perfect health, is it possible to think yourself healthy? Do you get your emotions to cooperate? That's the subject for tonight. I'm going to try to give you some secrets of the power within, using that powerful intuition that you have, that spiritual source of virtue, your soul mind connected to the divine. And with that, my team and I will discuss the many ways to stay healthy using your mind. Joining me tonight is my good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley, and he likewise is out there, way out there in a beautiful country, and the snow is probably, if it's not already piling up, it will pile up by tomorrow. Everybody's kind of hunkered down here. I hope you're, rolled up in a nice blanket or on a rug, sitting in front of that fire burning in the fireplace, and you're just enjoying this storm as it sweeps into our part of the country and hopefully continues on past. The number to call tonight to ask questions is 718-766-4421. That's a special guest hotline. Again, the area code 718-766-4421 is the magic number, and you can ask questions tonight. Our topic is about emotions. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and get into some deeper understanding. The question for me to you tonight is, are you emotionally mature? And those people who fly off the handle, who have tempers, who can't control themselves, are they emotionally immature? And what's the difference? Good night, everybody, and it's a pleasure to have you on here. Welcome to the show, Doug. How are you doing surviving this storm? And we look to have an exciting show here tonight. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm glad I'm out in the wild and safe and snug in my living quarters. So
okay.
I'm very happy about it.
Your brand new apartment in cottage country is one of those most beautiful places,
right?
In that place east of Peterborough, Ontario, and west of capital Ottawa. There you are in between some beautiful country. So, yeah, let's hope we stay warm. As we go through tonight, Doug, we're going to talk about this most important thing that I think is for someone who's on a spiritual path, it's really important that we understand ourselves and the emotional makeup that goes along with that. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to ask our audience, do they have a question about emotional maturity? Do they understand that our emotions are constructive and destructive forces in the body? And why is that so? Well, we're going to get to all those questions. We have people calling in right now in the queue. The number is 718-766-4421. So let's start off with a little bit about emotional maturity. You know, to be a spiritually aware person, it's an attempt to look within yourself. It's a spiritual journey inward, not outward. As much as we pray and we meditate and contemplate and we look to the great beyond for that spiritual guidance, that illumination, that truth, and that oneness with God, because we are all one on a spiritual level, we are all one. We're a group of souls going through this part of the galaxy, this dimension, this world that we live in. We're all going along the same path together, but individually. And so as we continue to look within, what is it that emotion plays that part in our journey? And again, are emotions constructive or destructive? They are forces within the body. Can you control yourself, my friends? Do you have temper tantrums? When you see people going, in rages or screaming fits, or into great pouts of depression or self, let's call it here, they beat themselves up. You know, they're in a deep, dark state where they don't seem to have hope, or they are just so feeling guilty that they're immobilized. That's a full range of activity from people, you know, at the height of violence almost, because people who get emotionally turned on in that violent way do commit violent acts. They can't control themselves. To the other end of the spectrum, where people are so lethargic and so depressed or demonically depressed that they cannot deal with life and they choose to end their life. What an array of emotions. Think about that, my friends. Call in with your question or your concern, or maybe you have a little tidbit of advice on how you've learned how to deal with those emotional experiences that you've experienced in life. Now, understand, emotion usually is generated, or it's a reaction, a knee-jerk response, you might call it, to something that happens to you in life. How many of you, when the rainstorm comes in or tonight's snowstorm, feels depressed? Is the weather affecting your emotions? Is the weather causing your emotions to be whatever they are? Despondent, frustrated, depressed, or angry? Is the weather causing you to feel the way you feel? Well, in a way, my friends, that's impossible. The weather is the weather. But your reaction to it, or your emotional response to it, is what the important question is tonight. Can you change that emotion? Or how did it occur in the first place? Where did that emotion come from? Well, I learned along the way that your emotions are triggered. They are triggered. And whether you consciously are aware or not, you select the emotional response to the event or circumstance or difficulty that has befallen you. Think about that. When you have a flat tire in the car, do you get out, kick the car, scream and holler, jump up and down? Or do you quietly go into the trunk and pull out the jack and take the wrench and change the tire, put the spare one on, all in a logical, methodical course of action to get the car back on the road? What is your response? Or is there some other response? Do you call up the carpool place, the garage, and you're going to be late for your appointment, so you're frustrated and angry and you're short with people? Do you select that? Or do you allow yourself to be, let's call it, balanced? What is it that you choose to do, because you do choose? Did you know that? Emotionally mature people are in control. They are self-controlled. That doesn't mean they don't get angry. They do. What do you do in such a circumstance? And here's a question we're going to ask you, my friends. Is there such a thing as justifiable anger? Is there such a thing as justifiable anger? Or as some of our guru people on the path who are attempting to suppress their ego believe that they should be in a serene, calm state 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that's their goal, to be completely peaceful all the time. Is that possible? Well, I think it is. But then it's the circumstances that you find yourself in, isn't it, that allows you to become one or more of those emotional responses that I've just spoken about. What have you got to say? The number is 718-766-4421. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to go right back to the phones, and we're going to ask you these questions tonight, and we're going to further the comments about what emotional health is all about. Are they constructive or destructive forces in your body? And can you, by changing the way you respond emotionally to things, choose health or disease? We'll be right back after this.
There's a Hope Conference coming to you. 2 days of spiritual enlightenment with personal interactions with Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, along with guest speakers in open forum lectures and workshops. Near-death experiences, angels, virtue healing, interpreting your dreams, the tree of life, the DNA of your soul. Those are just several of the topics covered in this all-new conference. There'll be special hotel room rates at conference locations. The Hope Conference will leave you spiritually energized with new cutting-edge information. See details at hopeconferences.org and view the breakdown of conference curriculum. Plus, plenty of opportunities to mingle with fellow seekers who have a goal of making the world a better place for themselves and others. See hopeconferences.org. And we look forward to seeing you.
Getting beaten up in life? Reading Conversations with the Akashic Field by Dr. Douglas James Cottrell coaches you through methods of battling fear and self-doubt to gain the spiritual strength you need for defense and stamina. Tapping into an ever-present source to help you win today. Visit DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or Amazon today for Conversations with the Akashic Field.
We understand people may have strong opinions that are different than our own. So join us and call in with questions and comments as we attempt to explore the unlimited human consciousness.
Now back to the Global Village. Here's your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Well, welcome back to the show, my friends. Douglas, you know, as we go through life, one of the things that seems to help people be successful is their ability to handle circumstances in life, to be able to handle themselves, to be in self-control emotionally. I mean, you're a retired educator. You're a minister, you've been talking to people, and you've probably witnessed some of those circumstances that we're talking about. Have you noticed that there are some people who seem to be, well, almost uncontrolled, and they are affected by a word, a phrase, somebody says something, and there seems to be in the world a lot of anger these days. But when you see people who just like, They're mature people, but they're acting like a child throwing a tantrum. What goes through your mind as an educator and a mature man? What do you think?
I just think that they're punishing themselves. They're hurting themselves. You know, I remember an incident. I was in a car with someone, and someone pulled out in front of him. And he honked the horn, and he yelled, and he swore, and he was miserable and angry for all the rest of the trip. I thought, boy. Who was he punishing? He wasn't punishing the person who pulled out in front. The person may not even know him that they inconvenienced him, but he was punishing himself. And I thought, wow, it's not worthwhile putting yourself through that. You know,
that's true.
You realize how these emotions can really harm you. It's very important to get control of your emotions. I mean, in traditional Chinese medicine, for example, anger affects the liver, and worry affects the spleen, and grief affects the large intestines and the lungs, and fear affects the immune system and the bladder and the kidney. And I think, so these people who are habitually going through these strong emotions, they damage their bodies, and they make their lives miserable. So, I mean, myself, personally, when I was very young, I had severe anger issues, and it took me quite a while to deal with those issues, but I believe I've been pretty much successful because I hardly ever get angry now. This, I think, is justifiable anger, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because as a teacher, I've seen teachers in action, and they will put on anger in order to influence a student. They may not be really angry, but they put this on, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about right at your core, you feel this strong emotion, and you react in a violent way, whether or not it involves physical damage, but the way you see these people get worked up and they make themselves miserable and other people react to them and they just spread the misery around.
I think we've all seen that, Doug, and that's what we say. And, you know, in your conversation here, it's like, you're recounting many things that I think we out there in the world have witnessed. But when you get to that point, the idea is we're asking the question tonight, how do you handle those things when you see somebody else respond? And more importantly, how do you respond? Do you select that emotion that you're going to demonstrate? Or are you triggered by the weather? Or by somebody else, like Doug mentioned, a car cutting you off in traffic, and you're responding and anger fits. You just had a car change lanes in front of you. Perhaps the person didn't see you, or you were in the blind spot. Why do you react that way? I'm sure a lot of the people in the audience don't do that, but they'll occasionally see somebody, as you just mentioned, go crazy with emotion, not realizing the other person's not affected. They don't even know. They're oblivious to what just happened. So is it an event that makes somebody go off like that? Can it be controlled? And as you alluded to, emotions have difficulties, a corresponding health problem, which is what we're going to talk about tonight. We have several people standing by in the queue. The question tonight to you, my friends, is, are emotions the constructive or destructive forces in your body? Can you discipline yourself, control yourself? Can you be who you are without being triggered by emotions? This is the lesson for tonight. People are triggered into an emotional response. And at that moment, just before you choose what emotional response you're about to demonstrate, for that split second, you have a moment to choose whether you're going to react or not. To be in control or to allow that emotion to manifest through your body. And we've all seen people start off with a slow simmer and they build into a rage. How is that possible? Well, these are people who are not in control. Their blood pressure goes up. You see that vein in their neck, right, Doug? You see that pulsing in their neck? Their face goes red. Their heart rate's affected. Adrenaline's being secreted into their kidneys. And they are a physical mess. And if somebody does that long enough, can the body stand it? I don't think so. I think it breaks down. So good examples tonight.
I was just going to say, speaking personally, because I can remember those days when I was a child, I had a temper tantrum, uncontrollable temper tantrum and anger. What I really did was I changed my mindset. It began with my mind. I was, I see people, they take offense at something, but that's a mindset thing, and then the emotions follow. So, I think it all comes with your attitude, your mindset, and then you deal with that, and then you gradually gain control of your emotions.
Right. So it's a learned thing. As you go through life, I think probably if mom and dad are out there and you're wondering, what can I do with Junior? He's just throwing a temper tantrum. Well, what does psychologists say about that? Well, they say, let him go. Let him throw the temper tantrum. Sooner or later, he'll run out of steam. He'll get hungry or thirsty or something, and he'll stop. Yeah, that's okay for kiddies, but, when people get bigger, they don't stop. They escalate. And that, my friends, is a sin, because people, when they're angry, can do things that they will regret later, and or they will end up punishing themselves by putting themselves in situations and acting inappropriately. Maybe they'll lose their job. Maybe they'll be asked to leave the church. Maybe they'll be frowned upon by their fellow club members, and all of a sudden they're not liked. And they're isolated, and they get more angry. And, anger leads into depravity, and depravity leads into monstrous activities. And so something on course that's headed for anger and destruction physically can slip over into mental health issues as well. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on in the show tonight. So let's go to the phones. We have some people standing by. The number to call is 718-766-4421. And we have some time in the show tonight. This is an abbreviated version of the show, but for the next hour or so, we're going to talk about emotional health. Humans, as you know, humans, emotions, the hidden power within. You can use emotion to drive you, to make you successful, determination, willpower. These are all the positive aspects of that generator of emotions that gets things done and drives people to be successful. And the other kind of emotions that are derogatory, that hold you back. Are you jealous of somebody else? Are you envious of somebody else? Do you think somebody's getting something that you're not, and that's why hate develops? Or perhaps you perceive them as doing something to you because of who they are and what they have accounted and achieved. This is somehow hurting you when absolutely the reverse is the truth. They've not hurt you. They've been successful in their own right. Why do you have this array of emotions, and how can you get that, when you're feeling depressed and you're feeling as if you're a victim and you're feeling guilty and you think that the worst is the worst, why live any further? How can you turn that around? Because people do. And I think it begins with that moment that just before you respond emotionally to something that comes into your life. Disappointment, unexpected events. Just before that moment that you choose to have an emotional response, you get to select whether you're going to act, react, or to be calm, don't you? Do you agree with that, my friends? The number to call is 718-766-4421, and we'll open the floor to other questions tonight, too, because we're here to help you. Doug and I are here to give you our impressions and our thoughts, and our friend Paul is producing a show tonight. And we're all here for you tonight, my friends. So, Paul, where are we going to go for the first call and on the Global Village Network here on Blog Talk Radio?
Yes, Douglas, we've got our first caller from Manitoba. Carrie is on the line with us.
Hi.
Welcome to the show, Carrie. Hi. How are you tonight?
Hi. Oh, I'm hanging in there, thanks. And how is everybody there?
Everybody in Ontario is either inside or they're outside shoveling, one or the other.
Unreal. Okay, so I 100% agree that we can choose how we want to react. Something interesting happened to me a few years back, and I just came out of purchasing something out of a store, and I realized a guy standing outside his car behind my car, and he said, "I'm sorry, but I ran into your car." So wow. The back end was all dented up. So, you know, people from the store were coming out looking, and I looked and I went, "Oh, are you okay?" And he said, "Well, yeah." He said, "But aren't you mad?" And I said, "Well, no, I mean, I'm not hurt. I wasn't in the car. You're not hurt. It's only a car. And, yeah, it's going to, you know, create some little bit of an inconvenience taking it to get fixed, but I wasn't at fault." So he just looked like he was pretty surprised, and so did, you know, the other people there. So,
good for you.
You know, I really believe that you can choose how you want to react. And those who get angry and fly off the handle and that, I think it's just because they haven't learned any better way to act yet. And I don't know if this is – I heard that it's also a lack of emotional intelligence. It's one of the characteristics of emotional intelligence when you – you know, so yeah. And then the other thing is, so you know, when it comes to astrology, you can tell whether — I don't know, I'm not an astrologer, but my understanding is you can tell whether somebody is going to have an explosive temper through their birth chart. And
well, I would take that to mean that there are the tendencies that are there.
Yeah, right?
there
is.
There's the tendencies that to be fiery and explosive and uncontrollable. But maybe by that pattern, that's what their spiritual lesson is, how to learn how to control that. So they come with, if you will, the equipment, but they have to learn how to channel that or change it, if you will, by their emotional intelligence. I'm using the term emotional maturity. To use
right.
that for a positive response rather than a destructive one. So, yes, I think you're right. Well, I'm not an astrologer either, but I know I've met people who have examined those influences, and that's kind of where I'm coming from. Would you agree?
Yes, yes. Like, I know somebody who has just a terrible explosive temper, but they go from A to Z, but in their astrology chart, it does show that an extremely wicked temper. But they wouldn't hurt anybody. It's just they might seem like they can, but, you know. But as, you know, and the other about anger, I think that like, say, anger, well, like basically you said, is like it can motivate you to do something. Because say if somebody says, like, you know, you're probably never be able to do that. Instead of getting angry, some people do it, and then they even succeed further, you know. So,
sure. It's fuel for the fire, right? I mean, it motivates them. I mean,
yes.
I'm not going to throw my family under the bus here, but Grandpa told my father, and my father told me, Grandpa had 100 teams of horses, wagons, and we were in the fuel business in Toronto. It meant that we had kindling wood and we had logs that would be split and cut. And I grew up with calluses on my hands, splitting logs with axes and sledgehammers. At some point in my life, my father said that his father told him, "If you get a man angry, he'll work twice as hard." And I thought, damn, the old man's been doing that to me. True. It's true. And there are people who know the human condition. And, you know, some people work for praise. Some people work for rewards. Some people work for, you know, because they're responsible. And some people, you know, get a little shoved by anger. But you're right. I think that as people have that challenge and they can channel that emotion, I mean, think of it. If somebody works twice as hard because they're angry, wouldn't they be apt to be twice as successful in life if they were channeling that energy towards whatever they were attempting to succeed in?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I think another thing, if you have, I had a neighbor that she was always angry at everything, and I mean everything. Mm. And she, but, you know, she'd get mad at others easily, even if they said something that wasn't, I never found it offended, but she would get really upset. And, you know, I thought, well, why? You can look at it this way. Instead of if somebody says something to you that you don't like, instead of getting angry and blowing up or not talking to them or whatever, just say, well, thank you. I'll take that into consideration and leave it at that. You know, that's one way of handling that.
Sure. I mean, there are people who have constructive criticism, and I've always listened to people. We don't have to justify ourselves to other people, which is something, you know, we kind of fall in doing, you know, you were late. Well, I'm sorry, you know, the kids got up late and I had to take them to school, and then I went to the doctor and the car wouldn't start, and so that's why I'm half an hour late for the school meeting. I'm really, we don't have to justify ourselves like that. We don't have to explain ourselves to people. We can say, well, circumstances happen, I made it, et cetera. And,
right.
You know, you brought up a really good important point, Carrie. People who are angry at everything, we should, as we are on the outside looking at our friends or our neighbors or people who we're associated with, they might not be our friends, what is their frustration? Would you think that people are frustrated and they're taking out their frustrations on other people, and that's why they're angry all the time? Would you agree?
I think that they're just angry. They're just unhappy. And because I know that woman that's just, I mean everything. It could, if there was too many clouds in the sky, it got her upset and mad. So, but she was, an unhappy person because she said she would bleed when she was younger, and then she went through a bad marriage. And so, she felt hard done by, and she was just didn't trust people and just angry at the whole world. So, you know, I hope she got past that. I don't know. But I really believe 100% that you can learn how to manage your emotions and choose a better response and how you're going to react to people. And then you'll feel calmer inside too, you know.
Well, I think that's a pretty good example that you brought up with tonight. Here's a woman who's had some difficulties in life, you know, but have we not all had some difficulties in life? Life is not a bed of roses. It's pretty scary out there sometimes. It's pretty difficult. But here's a woman who, instead of looking for solutions, is just bitter. And I suspect her health has had problems too. That's a really good example because in my mind, I'm thinking of at least one other person that I've met. They were just, you know, sexually frustrated. They were frustrated because they haven't been successful in business, or they never got to go to Disneyland when they were a kid or something. And just all kinds of references here. People really upset at mom and dad because they never had a vacation, or, you know, my dad was always working all the time and didn't have a chance to take him to the ball game. Or mom was always doing something, and, you know, and it's mom's fault that she's not successful. I mean, those are all either clients that I've met or people that over the years have voiced this issues or situations. And I think you're right. We have the chance to choose what we're doing. But as you said earlier, is it emotional intelligence? And is that intelligence a learned capability? What do you think?
I think so. I think you can learn. You can certainly change Like, what? Where there's that saying that you can change your thinking and you can change your life, right?
Hmm.
Oh.
True. True.
Yeah.
That's part of the question tonight. Very good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So that's and then, you know, even like that the woman who is just always angry a lot, I said to her, well, next time you get angry, why don't you go for a walk, and go for a brisk walk? Because I said, you know, you're just going to, you're raising your blood pressure and everything. So she started doing that, and she said,
wow.
It did help because I said to her, you know, that's going to be really detrimental on your health if you keep that up. And then she said later she was doing that. So I don't know if she ever continued it, but, you know, hopefully for her sake, because they also say anger can kill, right? If you get so explosive and you got a bad heart to begin with, and then you blow up and you can have a heart attack, right?
Absolutely right. There is my mentor, Ross Peterson, who was recounted as being similar to Edgar Cayce, said that anger, it translates into the body that the heart is like a boiler without a safety release valve. And the first thing that starts to break down when the boiler is pressurized, meaning full of anger, is that the pipes, the veins and the arteries start to erupt first. And we would call that hypertension or high blood pressure. And then heart attack occurs. So this is what he is referring to as a direct response. And you're voicing the same thing, is that, yes, this internal anger, if you don't have a safety release valve, and I'm going to compliment you, Carrie, you did something for this person. You actually intervened in her life and here's a suggestion that may help you get or dissipate this anger by going for walks. And you must have had a positive influence on them because, as you said, they started doing it and apparently they reported that it was helpful. Most other people, Carrie, would have done what? Don't go near her. She's full of crackers. Oh, my God, you know, she's so cranky and, you know, and this and that, and she's not nice to be around. And they abandon that person or they, you know, refrain from interaction with them. But you took it upon yourself to go and how dare you make a suggestion?
Take
the risk. Tell this person,
you know,
to do something. Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah,
go ahead.
There's I don't know if anybody ever, you probably heard of her. It's late Louise Hay. She had that book called You Can Heal Your Life.
Yes, I've met her. Mm.
Oh, you met her? Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, sure.
Well, anyways, I had met this person, and he said he must be in his 40s. He said he was had beet cancer, and he was told that basically he'd probably die. And he went the holistic route, and the hospital said, well, if you're going to do that, then we can't treat you. But anyways, long story short, he ended up beating his cancer. He's doing very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, besides the holistic route, did you ever figure out what was eating you? And he said, yes. I was angry at everybody, my whole life, family and everything, and I didn't care, and I let my health go because I was just full of anger and towards everybody. And then he started realizing it is eating him away. And then when he learned to forgive everybody and then start changing his attitude and how he reacted towards people, he was calmer, and he ended up doing very well. Like, he's healthy now.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so,
there you go.
You know, anger can eat at you. It can cause, like, dis-ease, right?
Well, exactly. If he didn't love himself, because nobody else loves me, why should I love myself? What a spiral of disease and despair that man was in. But something must have come along, just like you talking to this lady about taking a walk. Something must have happened in his life to woke and it would sort of woke him up, you know, like, wonder what it was. Did somebody take him in hand, or did he get to that point where he said, well, darn it, I'm going to fight this, you know, I'm not going to cave in, or what happened to him, I wonder.
Yeah, I think he realized that he is going to die. And I just think it sounded like he just thought, well, what's the best way to go to get myself healed? And I know he was going to this naturopath and those type of things. And he changed his diet and he changed his thought pattern. Like he let the things go that had been, like he said, what I said, eating him, because it was eating him. It was eating him alive.
Yeah, and he would have been, literally, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's what happens to a lot of people. And, you know, I mean, yeah, so just got to
Nothing like the thought of, oh, my God, I'm going to die, to wake somebody up.
Yeah, exactly. But, well, thank you for taking my call, and I hope you don't get too snowed in, and spring is on the way.
I'm inside. The car's at the garage getting fixed, so I have no plans for the weekend. I'm going to be all by myself, you know, just, you know, talking on the radio to my friends out there in the Global Village. So, but what you said tonight makes up the basis of the show. We were talking off the top. We asked the questions, are emotions the constructive and destructive forces in the body? And what you've given by these examples, you know, from your position, you found this out. I'm calling it emotional maturity, but we can call it emotional intelligence. And the idea is that people get to that moment when all of a sudden the cosmos gives them a little nudge. Hey, you're going to die if you don't change your ways. Hey, why are you so angry? Why don't you go for a walk and walk it off? And
yeah.
You became that person's angel, you know, and you probably saved your life. And of course, when you're outside walking things off, the blood's going around, you know, the adrenaline's being, you know, absorbed or taken out, and you're outside listening to the birds. What are we doing? We're distracting ourselves from that space that we're in when we're sitting in the chair brooding and feeling sorry for ourselves, and, you know, we're pitying ourselves, et cetera, et cetera. So excellent advice. But most importantly, you went over and did something about it. That is worth $1 million, Carrie. You did something. You might have saved that person's life, because it only gets to be a deeper, dark pit of despair that we fall into unless we reach up and change something, like that man who did something and fought off the cancer. Yeah,
right.
It was eating him alive. That's a good cliche. I like that. Very good.
Yeah,
so,
and he realized that too. And he said, if I can do it, anybody can do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Good advice.
And
I agree. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then he said, but he still has to be careful in the future that he doesn't fall back into that pattern of holding on to anger and resentments and, you know, and he said, so it's you know, he's always working at it to keep himself healthy. So, and
that's,
I think we all should, yeah, we all can learn how to do that. You know, it's a matter of how much do you want to, right?
Well, when death is the option, where death is the destination, that's a good motivator, you know, but you're right. That's an excellent point, is that you can't go halfway. Once you change direction in your life and you've found something that's working, then you have to keep going. You can't fall back. It's like being an alcoholic. All of a sudden you realize you're an alcoholic, and then you realize, oh my gosh, alcohol is my weakness and I have to avoid it. It's poison to me. As before, it was a pleasurable thing, and alcohol was probably smothering somebody's anger or emotional difficulty. You know, that's what I come to the conclusion. People drink because they're in pain. But once you get away from that, then you got to keep going in the same direction you are. So that's a very good point, Carrie. So do you do this often? Are you out there, Florence Nightingale, dog-dropping into helping people? It sounds like you're that kind of a person.
Well, you know, I offer my help if somebody's open to it, you know, and that's what I guess we're all supposed to do for each other. But, you know, one other point, though, like she was a second cousin, and she was only in her early 40s, and she died of cancer. But, you know, she was beautiful but extremely obese. And She was a social worker, and like she could hardly walk from her front door to her car. That's how big she was.
Oh, gosh.
And it was so sad, but the doctor said, like, her heart ended up only operating at a certain percentage, and but she ate a lot. Like, she'd go through drive-thrus several times a day and just ate a lot. So to me, that was just like slow suicide, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, what was the cause? You know, why wasn't she so happy? Why, you know, she was addicted to fast food, obviously. And being a social worker, I sometimes, you know, in all complimentary ways, say the people who are social workers are somewhat, well, maybe unconsciously, they're emotional sponges. They're picking up other people's pain and difficulty, because they want to help, because they've had difficulties in their own life. They know what it's like to be in pain. And so they go and they help, and they're in constant situations of despair, of pain, of emotional upheavals and difficulty, people who need some love and some affection. And sometimes, you know, in a sort of intuitive way, they pick up that pain and suffering, that those emotional attitudes, if you will, from other people, and they are like a sponge. And unfortunately, this lady might have been eating her way into some sort of, you know, trying to satisfy herself through the pleasure of eating.
I think so.
To the extreme, yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
you're right.
It's sad, but I mean, she's gone now. So,
yeah, well, everybody chooses their path, and everybody has their lesson to learn. And this might have been, you know, intuitively speaking, it might have been this woman. We come to the conclusion, you can't save everybody. That's God's job.
Right.
And we have to somehow learn, when we want to help everybody, to take off that cloak and sandals and say, okay, I'm not qualified to do God's work, you know, like God does God's work, but I can help a little along the way, and realize that everybody has these difficulties in our life, which is why they've gone through these lives, these points in their life, to learn that spiritual lesson. And so it's kind of like, you know, like, this is the difficulty, and what am I doing wrong that I'm not healthy, or that I'm not the same problem comes up over and over again. And then when I see that, I know this is a karmic influence. And so there's a lesson here that needs to be addressed, not specifically talking about this lady with an eating disorder, but it's an idea of saying, okay, what does this person need? Well, they need some love themselves. They're giving out love to everybody. And the way they get it back is by going through a fast food place, you know, just got out of a household where there's a family is dysfunctional, little kids are being abused. The woman goes out in her car and she runs to McDonald's or wherever and has a hamburger because she's just in such pain of being in this environment instead of something else, whatever else that might be. But I found it, and just for in conclusion, because it pops in my head, that people who are obese, for anybody out there, is to remember that your body eats certain kinds of food that is different from other people. And so when you find yourself having difficulty in digesting food, you might be lactose intolerant. When you find yourself constipated, there might be foods that you're eating that are causing that problem, as much as retaining resentments and things like that. That also leads to constipation, emotionally speaking. But if you find that there is foods, you have to change to your body shape or your body types of food, your blood type. You will be able to eat anything within that narrow group of foods, and you will not gain weight. And I'm not talking about rabbit food. I'm not talking about all those diet fads. You know, I'm talking about, you have to find out where it is, what kind of body you have, and what kind of food is good for you. For instance, if you come from Europe, then dairy products are okay, because in Northern Europe, your historical ancestors ate a lot of dairy products. If you come to some other place like South America where, or the Philippines, where you didn't eat dairy products, you eat hot chili peppers and whatever, and then you start, you know, you move to Canada or someplace and you start eating, you know, European food, you're going to have problems. Your body's not going to be able to digest them. And, you know, if you don't put that together, that you have to look back and say, okay, what is my what's good for my body, you know, historically or anatomically or nutritionally, what is it that my body does well at, and what foods are there for me? Then you can make a gigantic leap.
Yeah.
And find out what's good for you. And that may help people who have eating disorders. I've seen people who have changed their diet. I'm not talking about everybody eating, you know, things that go in a blender and, you know, and fish and protein and all these other things. I'm talking about certain kinds of food, just certain kinds of food. You know,
yeah.
Don't eat pork, eat fish. Don't eat fish, eat chicken. But you'll find whatever I'm talking now to the audience, because you've been very wise in mentioning some of these things, Gary, is that if, when you find out what's good for you, you can eat as much as you want and you won't gain any weight. But if you are gaining
right.
weight and your body's not digesting or eliminating, more importantly, then you're eating the wrong food. And so you got to be proactive and say, okay,
yeah,
how can
and-
I do this?
Yeah, and you know, even with foods, if people don't know how to eat clean, there's Google, you know, Google how to eat clean. Some people swear by eating the keto way, you know, and having what the keto diet all entails of, and it's not to lose, well, some people want it to lose weight, but you don't have to use it to lose weight. And I recently checked it out. I don't have to lose weight at all. But I checked it out, and it's all good foods, and it's clean foods. And when you eat clean, you're also helping the brain, right? Because it's good for the brain.
You are what you eat. That's right. Yeah.
You know, it definitely. And I don't even know his name now, but I listened to a podcast, and this doctor was talking about, like, you know, you got to change, get off a lot of this sugar and wheat and gluten, like wheat gluten and that, because it's bad for the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it could lead to dementia or Alzheimer's. So like, just try to stay away from sugar unless it's like just in very small amounts, and try to use natural sugar like a stevia, a good quality stevia that doesn't have any bunch of chemicals in it. So you can, because you can still eat sweet stuff, right?
Yeah, sugar from the sugar bowl is a no-no. You know,
right.
That's a rule of thumb I have. But yeah. You've come up with some really good suggestions. That's excellent. And,
yes, well,
yeah.
Okay, well, you all have a wonderful weekend, and it was very nice speaking with you again, and thank you for taking my
call. Carrie, send me an email, and maybe I'll get you on the show as a guest. My email
is
right. Douglas James Cottrell@gmail.com. I just occurred to me, you know a lot more than maybe we can do, get you on as a guest, okay? Douglas James Cottrell@gmail.com. Yeah, because you're just making my mind think about some of the things you're talking about here for a possible show in the future. Anyway, for now, congratulations on taking the initiative and helping that poor lady who was in despair, was so cranky and angry and falling into that pit of self-despair. Then you went over like an angel and said, why don't you go for a walk when you get angry? You know, that's right up
yeah.
there with, okay, before you get angry, count to 10.
Yeah, I told her that too.
Oh, there you go.
Take deep breaths and go for a walk and make sure it's a brisk walk. And, well, she did say it helped.
Yeah, it did. She did it.
You know,
it did. Good for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, do email me and we'll talk. But thank you for being on the show tonight. Wonderful advice. Thanks, Gary.
Okay. Well, thank you again, and take good care, everybody.
Okay. You too. God bless. Paul, where are we going next?
Going down to Texas, the big state of Texas, and we've got Nancy, who's in Austin.
Hello, Nancy.
Hello, Douglas. Hello, Doug. Is Doug there today? I know he was on the phone earlier, but I'm not sure.
That's Doug, and Doug is here with me, the co-host, Doug Bentley, and Paul's producing the show. So here we go. How's things in Texas? Any snowy down your
way? Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Weather going up and down, up and down. We've gone from 90 degrees to 30 degrees to rainstorms to sunshine. confused, I guess.
Well, yeah, the world's tipping over. You're getting some, that Canadian weather, that flippant weather. But I've noticed that in the weather pattern that when I was growing up, the storms always came from Alaska and Yukon. They came from the northwest down around that Hudson's Bay, which was a great big landmass there in the middle of Canada, and between Hudson's Bay and the Great Lakes, which is Detroit and Buffalo area, there was always the storms came from the northwest to the southeast. Now the storms are coming up from the Caribbean over Texas way, or, they're coming up from Texas. Yeah, it's kind of what happened. The jet
the
stream
axis,
changed
the
direction.
We're on a different axis now.
Yeah. Watch out, Texas.
Solar flares are pushing us in different directions.
There you go. Just to think, Texas might be the North Pole. The Lone Star State on top of the. I hope not. But anyway. Gosh. So what do you think?
Goodness.
What do you think? Are emotions the hidden power within that can motivate somebody to be successful, or they can drive people into a hole in the ground? What do you think?
I think a little bit of both. I have a couple of stories too. I am the type of person where I like to help where needed, and people are guided to you for a reason. And I remember one time I heard you say that if a homeless person comes up to you and asks you for any change, give it to them because they chose you. And so with that, people have been, people go up to certain people for certain reasons or whatnot and asking for this or that, whether they're doing it directly or indirectly. And it just depends on the way if you see the signs. Let me give you an example. I used to work at a bookstore, a used bookstore. And for months, 2-3 months, we had a regular customer in the morning on a certain day would come in, and she was very angry, yelling, throwing her books at the employee, he's ringing her up, throwing her money, she pay with cash, and her change, just go everywhere, just terrible, and why can't I have this book, and where is this, and this and that, and, nevertheless, one day, it was just her and I at the register, and I kind of leaned in, and I said, ma'am, I said, we like you here, but we don't like your attitude, I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to look at the steps of the past of your life, and see what pissed you off, and look in front of you and realize that you have a clean slate every day. Now take that day and change it around. And if you don't have to be angry every day. And she was mad. Oh my gosh, she was going through. She complained about me. I got written up. I got in trouble for it. But it's still, I just had to say something. 3 months, I guess, maybe about 3 or 4 months later, I wasn't really counting, but it's been several months past, and we hadn't seen her. And then she shows up one day with her daughter, teenage daughter, maybe 12, 13, early teens.
Wow.
And her daughter is crying, and she's like, she said, I want you to meet my daughter. She goes, I wanted to come in here and tell you, this is my daughter, I want to congratulate you, and I thank you for telling me that, because you gave me the courage to stand up for my life. And what was happening was her husband was an alcoholic, abusing her, sexually abusing the daughter. She had bruises all up and down her body where she was just so angry every day and she didn't know how to handle it. I gave her the courage. She said that day she went straight to her daughter's school, picked her up, went to the police station, and went to a safe house.
Wow.
And it took about 3 or 4 months, and they got him into prison and back to what country, because he wasn't from the United States. He was in a different country. But they sent him back to his country and imprisoned him.
Well, Carol, God bless you for doing that. I mean, Nancy, God bless you for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I have done several situations like this. I was the first female bicycle mechanic in Austin. They had was working in bike shops, but they were only supposed to be in sales. But I was very, 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 very wanted to work on bicycles because I love bicycles. So I was very motivated. So So I finally got a job, and this gentleman comes in with his daughter, who's about 10 or 11. She is deaf. And he says, I want you to talk to my daughter and tell her she can't have a bike because she's deaf. And I said, you know what? I'll talk to her. I didn't say I'll talk her out of it. I just said I'll talk to her. We ended up talking him into getting her a bike.
You talked him into getting a bike for her.
Yeah, she got a bike.
I love it.
She figured out that mountain biking was her favorite thing because here in Austin we have all these little trails and stuff that she was really into. And he was all about that because it was away from the city cars and stuff. And then she got a sponsorship and joined a team. And she was in the X Games here in Austin. And she started riding skateboards and became a professional skateboarder. And then she moved to a different city, went to college, and became a director for movies.
Nancy, you're her angel. God bless you.
And, you know, I have had some turbulence in my life where I should have been not living. Like, there have been several situations. I was in a car accident where two people died and I was the only one who lived. And I shouldn't have. And there's been several situations where...
No, Nancy, yes. No. I've dealt with this in my life many times. No. You were saved because you were supposed to be saved because you have
right,
other things
exactly,
to do
that's
in life.
There's,
it's not like you should have died. You were
here.
Saved. Yeah.
There's a reason why I'm here. But on a different situation, another situation is I've always been kind and gentle. Like, if people get angry, it's like, hey, calm down. Just look at the situation. It's okay. If your car got smashed, just get another one. If your hair got terrible haircut, it's going to grow back. You know, if your arm is broken, your bone will heal. You know, so things like that. But just recently, my granddaughter has this cat. And she has a female cat at her house. She got a male kitten who is now 6 months who was attacking the other cat, and the other cat just got depressed. So she's like, Grandma, can you please take my cat? And I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. Oh, my goodness, Douglas. This cat has been the worst in me. Like, it has just been doing some, it's just been making me so angry and, like, doing things like I don't want it to, scratching at the door, doing things I keep telling this cat, you know. And I said to myself the other day, I said, okay, angels, I really need my highest angels. I need the creator of the Lord. I need God Almighty on my side because I am not a negative, harsh person. And I need to figure out how to coexist with this cat happily. How do I do that?
Okay, well, variety of things. One, change the cat's diet. Consider declawing the cat. And it looks like it needs some adjustment in its neck or its back. It's in pain.
Okay.
Chiropractic adjustment. There are people who do adjustments on cats. The cat's in pain, and I see the urine. I can sense the urine is smelly, strong urine, and so, you know, I would recommend, you know, sardine oil. You know, the oil that the sardines come in to help. The cat's in pain.
Okay.
Yeah, I almost was going
to
say...
He's looking at me smiling right now because he's like, listen to that man. He's smiling at me right now.
He's smiling at you?
Yeah, he's looking at me and smiling. He's listening to
well,
you.
Well,
he's so calm. He's like, yes.
He's picking up on the good vibes, you know. But
yeah.
Anyway, his name isn't Diablo or anything like that, right?
No, it's not. No, I call him Kitty, but my granddaughter, she calls him Baby Boy.
Okay, well, maybe think of something like a bigger cat, like tiger or something like that, or you know, a cheetah, or you know. I think this is I think you've got a reincarnated cat who was. I can see it very plainly. It looks like a leopard, or it looks like a cat in the jungle. That's what.
Yeah,
that's why the cat.
He looks like a big panther. He is huge.
Yeah,
he's only 6 months. He's a giant.
Well, that's my intuition, is that you've got a reincarnated jungle animal, but it needs a change in its diet, whatever that might be. And, you know, think about declawing, but that would be
well,
like
the
last
thing. Well, I was thinking about, like, taking him there's a vet, like, less than a block away from me where I can take him to get his nails clipped at least.
Yeah, that's right. That's better. Yeah, I was going to take that back and say don't take his nails out. That would be like... totally defenseless, and but do.
That's like me
taking
out my teeth and telling me to eat a steak.
Well, try changing his diet, and then if he can get somebody to adjust his neck or back or something, and whoever does it will say, oh, look, the cat's had its neck out for quite a while. I think it got tied up in a ball of string or something and got twisted, and, you know, when it was small. But, and talk to the cat. Say, hey, this is your home. Mm-hmm. Respect it, you know.
Yeah.
This is our cave.
Yeah, I'll tell him,
we live here.
Like, when he's doing something, like when he jump on onto my computer, I'm like, this is not a kitty zone. This is not for you. And then I'll take him and put him down. I'm like, here, this is a kitty space. And then I'll give him a toy. Here, this is your space. But,
okay.
Like, at night when I'm sleeping and he's calling at the door, that's when my anger kicks in. And I'm like, ah, what is that? You know, and I'm like, okay, calm down.
He's long. Get him in the cage. Put him in the cage and bring him in your room.
Oh, that's a good idea, too.
Yeah, he doesn't like to be left alone. So put him in the cage, then that way he's not going to be up around your throat.
Okay.
And he's in your room, and then he'll be happy, too.
And then some other advice, like, on a different note with, like, people who are out in public and they do get angry, I always recommend asking yourself a couple of questions first. Is this my energy? Why am I mad right now? Is this my energy? Is this somebody else's? Am I picking up on something around me that's not even mine? Because we have little antennas.
Antennas
pick up things that are around us.
Yeah,
you know,
it's exactly
like,
right.
Like, what is this situation? Or is this something that was created in me as a child? Did a situation like this happen to me as a child with my parents? Or did my parents put it there? Like, where is this coming from? Is this really, really me? How do I deal with this?
Okay, well, the short answer to that one is when you're out in public and all of a sudden you start to feel grungy or angry or frustrated or scared or something, you say, whoa, wait a minute. This isn't mine. God Almighty, send it back where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately you should feel better. And then you say, okay, I was just being intuitive. I was picking this up clairsentiently. It's not mine. And okay, well, listen, thanks for being on the show, Nancy. Great advice tonight. And again, you know, you were somebody's angel, and God bless you for helping wherever you can. This is wonderful.
And you are my angel. And Doug Bentley, he is the angel for my ears when he sings on Sundays. And it's been a while because I've been having to work on Sundays, but the next Sunday I have off, I will definitely be tuning in to our church.
Okay. Well, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you, Doug.
Okay.
Good to hear your voice. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Got to go to commercial break. We'll be right back after this.
Every so often, an individual appears who can demonstrate the ability to access the dimension known as the Akashic Field. Dr. Douglas James Cottrell is one such individual. The field is like a celestial library of all our thoughts and actions. Since the dawn of time, science is demonstrating that through this energetic field, our minds are connected to one another despite our perception that we're all separate. This is why the great religions of the world teach respect, compassion, and tolerance. They depict the field as the book of life, the source of inventions, inspiration, and insight. In the book, Conversations with the Akashic Field, Dr. Cottrell offers you practical advice from the Akashic Field so you may live a life of peace and prosperity. Go to douglasjamescottrell.com and click on Shop. There you'll find books, meditation, and other spiritual advancement materials.
You think about you and your family's health every minute, every day, not just when sick. We believe healthcare should bring results and rejuvenate the body. That's why Dr. Douglas James Cottrell compiled some of his best tips from his readings into a book, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Volume 1. From nutrition, anti-aging, and skincare to serious disorders and diseases like autism, PTSD, and cancer. Find out more at douglasjamescottrellstore.com or buy a copy on Amazon today.
Did you know that Dr. Douglas Cottrell has several other weekly channels where you can participate? Check out his Sunday International Spiritual Healing Service on Zoom, plus a Wednesday night Zoom community gathering. And you might also enjoy the Wake Up podcast, exploring human consciousness, awareness, and intuition with Dr. Douglas and co-host Les Hubert. Just go to douglasjamescottrell.com and message us on the contact page to add your name to the Zoom links of your choice. You're listening to the Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Call in and ask a question about tonight's topic at area code 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, once again, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Well, tonight we have a very interesting show going on. It's about emotions, the hidden power within, and we've had some great callers talking about how they have assisted people just by a few comments or getting involved in their lives. And sometimes these powerful momentary encounters change the life of the person that is in front of you in pain somehow. And you heard how a comment was made at a counter. A lady took offense a little bit that somebody was actually saying, you know, we like you, but we don't like your attitude. And that prompted the woman to go and take action that saved herself and her family, especially her daughter. And there it was. It just had that little kernel of truth, that little cosmic nudge. You too, my friends, can be such angels, and we can all take care of one another. We live in this global village together, and it's really great to have some of these stories here on the Blog Talk Network, on our Global Village International show, because many people out there tonight will be listening to these things, and we hope that you will take a moment and intervene in somebody's life when they're in pain or if they're, you know, doing things that they, you know, might not be helping themselves with, like throwing a tantrum or screaming at somebody, or you're involved somewhere where you can quiet them down or help them. At first, they're going to react as you would expect. There's going to be some resistance, but you just might, in some small way, say something in a small way that's going to change their life in a big way. We had Carol on the line, Paul, a moment ago. I think that was our next caller, and looking forward to talk to Carol. If you're out there, come on back. And I regret to say, everybody, that on the last show we had said that the mayor of Chicago might win the election, and unfortunately that was not quite accurately. I remember I was looking down at the lady in the view, and I misinterpreted that, meaning Down was not going to be successful. But Carol's keeping track of all my predictions, and I was ready to address that one tonight. We have a little time left in the show, and if Carol calls back, that's great. We are having some upgrades to the Blog Talk Network and the Global Village Radio Show, and we're going to be doing more on radio. So do go to my website, douglasjamescottrell.com, and make sure your email address is put onto that in email. What can we call it? The list, I guess, that little place where you put the emails in. It's permission-based, so you have to do it yourself, and you will keep up to date with some of the brand new upcoming events that we're going to have on our Global Village Radio Show, on our podcast, and on other events that we have going, as Paul just enumerated. Paul, where are we headed to next?
Douglas, we're going to Michigan, and John is on the line.
Good evening, John.
Good evening, Dr. Douglas. This is John in Michigan. How are you, sir?
You must be getting some of that snow over in Michigan, too, then, right?
Oh, Lord Almighty. We are just deluged in here. In fact, I had someone call me a short time ago, and branches are breaking, and, you know, it's pretty windy out there and just all sorts of stuff. And I'm calling you tonight. Actually, I'm on with the topic you're on, but I also had a quickie question, if you don't mind. This happened to me about a week and a half or so ago, And I was sitting here, and suddenly the power went out. Well, the cable went out, and the power came back on. It was on, and I had to air out the place for a different reason. And I lay down in this chair. I had to close the door in the bedroom and everything, turn the fans on, window open. And the power went out. I couldn't get off the chair. And I finally got up. I froze to death. Okay, I had a winter coat on and a hat and gloves. And someone I know, you know, dear, I love dearly, came over and got me. And anyway, I went to his house, and their house, I should say. And really quick, let me tell you this first, okay? They've got three dogs, okay? And I have to tell you what, two of the dogs, in fact, almost all three of them, two of them just wanted to be around me like you would not believe. In fact, his wife said, I've never seen that before. You know, she has never seen it before. She's been with him for 3 years. And I'm telling you what, these two of the dogs, all he wanted to do was get next to me and hug and pet and everything else. Incredible. I had a feeling about that, but I wanted to let you know that I think animals can pick up senses as well. I'm pretty sure they do. So,
I agree. What do you think, Doug? I mean, is John a pet magnet here?
Well, here's my story. Okay, animals are telepathic. They can pick up your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And they're also very sensitive to emotions. Right? And anyone who is on the spiritual path attracts people and attracts animals. So you like the dogs. You were happy to see the dogs.
I've never seen them before.
But you're on the spiritual path as well.
Okay.
So they're
gotcha.
Sensing something.
Okay.
They're sensing something in you.
I understand. Well, this were my own conclusions as well on this thing. It's like, you know, I didn't want to say anything to anybody else, but I'm telling you what, they were climbing all over me, you know, which was pretty good. And thanks for kind of confirming that.
You're just,
I appreciate
you're just a
that very much.
Guy. You're just a lovable guy, John. You're a magnet for
puppies. Well, one dog, I mean, they're 3, 4, 5 years old, six, you know, something like that already, 5, 6 years old. And I'll tell you what, the newest one, he's normally, I guess, a pretty big – I mean, he's like a miniature horse, for God's sakes. I don't even know what breed he is, but the other two are huskies, and this one's even bigger than a husky. And the third one, and, you know, he kept coming around. And normally, you know, my daughter-in-law said, no, you know, he doesn't come around by anybody. And, well, son of a gun, anyway. So, yeah, but it was an interesting time for me, too. I had spent 3, 4 days over there because there was no power. And, you know, it was an interesting time. And, you know, anyway, I got back home here. And I was going to listen to you folks tonight on the computer. And wouldn't you know, just around 9 o'clock my time here, about an hour and change ago, the lights blinked heavily. And suddenly the television went off. And I went, I didn't turn it off. And suddenly, uh-oh, where's the Internet? No more internet. And so I had this second, you know, phone here that I've called you on here, and I'm, you know, just thought I'd check in with you, and I'm hoping to goodness this is the same thing that happened to me about a week ago and change ago. Please let me ask you this first question. Am I going to lose electricity in here again, do you think, today or tomorrow?
What was the question?
I was for Dr. Douglas. I was wondering if he thought that I may lose the electricity, you know, to turn the lights off completely, lose all power, like it happened about a week ago. And, you know, the first thing that went out was the cable for me back then, you know, the Internet. And then the lights went out later. And I froze to death. And like I said, I had to leave the house for 4 days. And I'm just wondering am I safe over here again? Because I have nobody to take me anywhere or go anywhere. And I'm just wondering, am I going to lose power again here, do you think?
Well, you know, that's my impression. I was going to let Doug give you his impression. What do you think, Doug?
He's going to be safe, regardless of what happens. I mean, I think there's going to be some brownouts, but I don't see any major blackouts. That's what I see. So.
And the image I had, John, was flipping a coin. So it's 50-50. But I can see you're okay. You got to get the old blanket out and put the feet in a hot bucket of water there. I don't like the old days, right? To stay warm. Mm. But you look like you might have to put a blanket on, but you're okay. So, but again, we're in this storm, and there's something wrong with the power grid out your way, because it's obviously at its max, or it's overloading, or I think there's some problems with some transformers that are up near a tree around your way. And the transformers are on a pole, and there's a tree nearby that's affecting the transformer or the wire. So
okay.
it's not your fault per se. It's a difficulty in the neighborhood, but I think you'll be okay. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Well, I appreciate that very much. Thank you about that. I mean, I'm kind of homeward bound, if you know what I mean. And the people that I dearly love, they're gone for several days, and I'm kind of nervous about being over here, if you know what I mean. So I we'll see how she goes out, I guess. Well thanks for
anybody,
that information.
Is there anybody at the VA or anybody in those that you can call and
Friday
say,
night,
hey, send over the troops or what? Mm-hmm.
Now Friday night there's nobody around. Sorry, I wish there was. I mean, but well, I guess we'll see how it goes. I mean, I've got somebody who lives kind of close. In fact, I got power last Saturday afternoon. From Wednesday to, I lost power Wednesday through Saturday, and I have a brother and sister-in-law that live close. They lost power the same time, and they just got their power back on yesterday.
Wow.
Wednesday to Thursday. And it's funny because right next door to them, the neighbor must be on a different grid, and had power. Okay, half the subdivision there had power, and where he was, they had none, and they borrowed, I guess, an extension cord and got a heater and tried to keep warm.
That's what I was going to suggest. You know, if you have neighbors that you're on good terms with, just run the old extension cord across the lawn. Wow. Yeah, that's how it is. That's how it is. Different grids,
No power grid.
John.
I mean, okay. Well, yeah. No neighbors around here, though. Okay. Well, anyway, back to thanks a bunch for that. I appreciate that very much. I'm kind of nervous here, but back to your topic. Were you talking about with that young lady on the phone about anger and things? You know, I've spoken to you about many things in my life, and you've been very generous. I'll say that, and telling me about certain things and about. I've been kind of wondering why I've been so, ticked off sometimes, and I think a lot of it has to do with me just being unable to go anywhere. Like I used to be able to, just wherever I wanted to go, anywhere, and now I can't go anywhere. I'm kind of just shut in. There's good and there's bad to that. The bad is that I think I was losing my temper a lot, and people were able to set me off quite easily, and I'm trying to get over that. I'm doing my best on that. Someone almost got me yesterday, but I caught myself. And okay,
good.
Wait a minute. Slow
good,
down
good,
again.
Good.
Well,
yeah, you get to choose, John. You get to choose. And catching yourself like that, I know from our conversations, personal conversations, if you will, counseling, that, you've been working with this, your sincere path of self-improvement and attempting to find the way to the higher consciousness and the spiritual worlds and what's right. And it takes a lot. And even now, as you're saying, you caught yourself the other day. Good.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's the proof that you're on the right path. Have to keep it up, mind you, but good for you. What do you think, Doug?
Yeah.
I mean, John's doing well.
he's doing much better than he was. And it's, I mean, it is a, it, it's a constant monitoring of ourselves at every point in our lives, you know. There are temptations, there are things that trigger us, there are, where we have a myriad of emotions. I mean, the thing is, there's something that triggers, there's a plethora of emotions we could experience. You could get angry, you could get depressed, you know, you could be envious of this person or jealous.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole bunch of ways you could react. And I believe it's possible to transduce or sublimate emotions. So you use the energy of negative emotions and transform them into positive. So if anger could lead to determination and strength in feeling, in fighting adversity, you know, it's, so it's possible to use the energy in a different way rather than a negative way. So, but it all takes effort and vigilance in terms of your life and what you're experiencing and what you're thinking, what you're feeling. And as I said in my own personal experience from when I was young, sure. I had to change my attitude and my view of life in order to gain control of my anger.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened. I had to work on it, but it did happen. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'm working on mine every day.
Yeah, you're changed a lot, John, because that big puppy dog came over and wanted to get up in your lap, and everybody's going like, holy moly. My first Great Dane, we called her Misty. She was about an 80-pounder. She is a female. When people would come into my house for visits, we knew right away what kind of visit it was going to be. If Misty went over and sat down beside them or actually laid down underneath their feet as they were sitting up on the couch, we knew this was a pretty neat person. If Misty mm-hmm. came into the room and turned around and walked out of the room, he went, oh, here we go again, you know.
I understand.
And, yeah, they know. So there you go. Anyway, we just got a few minutes left in the show. One more really quick
thing, okay, about receiving and being thankful. You know, my television, I've had it for about 18 years, and it finally went out. Okay, no, didn't work anymore. Anyway, I was out of television for about 3 weeks, and I was kind of getting a little stir-crazy on that, if you know what I mean. And
oh, gosh, I couldn't last 3 minutes, never mind 3 weeks. Oh, my gosh.
It was kind of trying.
You could last at least 5 minutes, I'm sure.
you can't. Well, go ahead.
You said the doggone noise. Oh, really quick, someone who I love dearly, okay, called me and said, hey, you know, hey, Grandpa, I want to go. There's a sale at Costco on televisions here, and I want to go and get you one. And I thought, no, I don't want it. You know, no, that's too expensive. I mean, this was not cheap, okay? And I said, no. And, oh, well, I'm going to get you one. No. And I hung up the phone. I said, well, I guess I don't get a phone. I mean, a television. And I thought about it, and I thought, what a dummy I am. You know, okay, it's like, wait a minute here. You're learning to accept. And I thought, oh, my Lord, what have I done again, you know? And so I called him back, and I said, you know, I apologize. I'm really sorry. I should have said yes. And he said, okay, well, I understand. And you know what? That was Super Bowl Sunday, mind you. And it was like 11 o'clock in the morning on that Sunday. And, you know, he stopped what he was doing. He went to Costco. He bought me a 65-inch television. Okay, it was on sale, but it doesn't matter whether it was on sale or not. But he bought this great television. I mean, a great television. And brought it over. He was here all by himself. He managed to somehow get the old, you know, old thing that must have weighed a ton off the stand and got the new one on and off and put it on. And, you know, we hugged, and he said, God bless you. I said, oh, man, me too. You know, me too. And so, I mean, it's that lesson about receiving again. I guess no matter how small somebody brings you something, whether it's a food, you know, a hot hamburger to eat or a 65-inch television, you know, I mean, there's nothing that you're supposed to, I guess, say something's too big or something's too small.
65
so,
inches of
anyway,
TV. That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
It is. It is.
And you got to see the Super Bowl in living color.
No, actually, I didn't even watch it, you know. Okay. But
oh, okay.
I'm not too much of a football fan. But anyway, it's been really wonderful since then. And I sure do enjoy it. I really, really do. You know, so I just, it's another lesson, I guess, that we all have to sort of learn to. At least I do.
Well, no, it's okay. Listen, John, that's a really good comment. I mean, the law of gratitude is what you're practicing here and what you recounted. And, you know, our first reaction is something like that. Somebody says, oh, you know, a relative wants to bring you over something. You, oh, no, no, no. It's like you say, it's too expensive. But the way we teach things about the law of gratitude is that person is kind of taking care of you through the will
right.
of God Almighty. And it's not
right.
expensive for them because they can afford it. Otherwise, they wouldn't
right.
Offer it. And so the thing is, for everybody listening to John's comments tonight, is that he had the wherewithal to call back and say, I made a mistake. Yes, I would like to have the TV. How many of us would be embarrassed or we would be humiliated to call back and say, I made a mistake? And yes, could I have the TV? Think about that, my friends, because what John did was practicing the law of gratitude, made his relative feel good that they were able to help him. And that was the gift he gave to them as they gave him the gift of TV, which is when, you know, John, you know, you're in your place, you can't get out, you know, you got mobility issues. That's like the best thing in the world to pass the time. And that's what your relative gave to you, this gift. That allows you to exist, you know, makes the days go by. So it's a win-win situation, but I want to compliment you on having the wherewithal because you're working on your advancement and your spiritual progress and things like that, that you actually called back. You realized, oh my gosh, what have I done? That's amazing, John, and I pat you on the back for that. Good, good, good.
I've learned. Go ahead.
Go ahead, John.
I've learned that I'm not, you know, I'm 73, but you know what? I have learned that it's okay to say you're sorry and I apologize.
Hmm.
You know, when you know that someone is really, as you say, trying to aid and assist you, and you're being a stubborn son of a gun, you know, and not wanting to. I mean, that's a heck of a lot of money, okay? A heck of a, you know, a big gift. And that's the biggest thing I've ever gotten from somebody, so to speak. And so it's you know, you just learn that it's okay to say you're sorry and it's okay to apologize. That's when you know that it's the best thing that you not should be doing, but what's supposed to do, I guess. I guess it's supposed. That's what I mean, supposed. I can't find the right word.
Well, well said, John.
Thank you for all that.
Yeah.
And well,
said.
John,
well,
my perspective is the great gift was not the television. It was the love.
Yes. Well, and that's why, when, you know, last week when that power went out and I called the same person and I said, hey, you know, I've got nowhere to go. And, you know, and like I say, I'm wearing a winter coat and hat and gloves, you know, in here. And, you know, he just came right over and got me, even though, you know, I mean, I had to, you know, sit on the couch, so to speak, and sleep under, you know, my own comforter, which the dogs always wanted to be around me. But I couldn't climb the stairs up to the second floor. And, but, you know, they really took care of me. I mean, they made me something to eat a couple times a day. You know, I didn't have to, you know, really get up and do anything. I mean, it was, I just appreciated it so doggone much. It's hard to explain, but that's the kind of love people have with each other, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely right there, John. Absolutely right. Okay, well, listen, stay warm tonight. And don't reach out if you need to tomorrow. But I see it, the lights might flicker on and off, but I see in your, you're going to be in your, you know, in your pajamas or your house coat, and it might be a little cooler, but you look like you're going to be okay. It doesn't look like you're going to have to move, and we'll see how it goes. But thanks for being part of the show tonight, John, and telling us that
thank you.
Very, very nice story. And I'm really happy
you,
that really happy those doggies like you, you know.
Well, it's a new experience for me too. I've always been a little bit leery of dogs. I don't understand everything behind it all, but boy, these three were just incredible. I mean, incredible, climbing all over you, if you know what I mean.
And they were giant dogs too.
You.
They were giant dogs, right?
Yeah. Dr. Douglas, thank you very much. Doug Bentley, thank you. Paul, thanks a lot. I appreciate all of you gentlemen. You take care of yourselves. God bless you. Take care. Good night.
Okay, take care. Well, my friends, that brings us to the end of the show tonight. We've had a wonderful visit with you out there in the Global Village. So I hope you've picked up a few pointers here from some of our callers. You know, you do have the ability to choose your emotional response, and it behooves you to attempt to look for emotional intelligence, emotional maturity, not to be triggered into responses that you might be sorry for later. And when opportunities come up to you, practice the law of gratitude and say thank you. Matter of fact, every day, don't forget to pray. Pray every day. And one of those prayers might include a little gratitude of thank you, I am grateful for my life. Thank you for this experience and whatever experience has come to your life or whoever's come into your life. And don't be afraid to reach out and help somebody who's in distress. Because sometimes people who are cranky, emotionally upset, they have a lot on their mind perhaps, or they're having they're going through some circumstance, and you just might be their angel. You might be able to suggest something to them only once, no more than once, and to intervene in their life is the proper way, not to interfere, but to intervene. And then as you've heard some of the callers tonight, how they've had warm and wonderful responses to their intervention. And that is being of service. That is being your brother or sister's keeper. And that is the consciousness that we call compassion and the consciousness of the Christ. Gentlemen, it's been wonderful to have you on the show tonight. Thank you for being the co-host, Doug, as always, you know, taking care of the show and comments to people. And Paul, thank you for a wonderful job in producing the show tonight. We've had a wonderful time. Last word, anybody?
Yes. Ashwagandha. Ashwagandha is an herb that I discovered, and one of its benefits is that it's kind of a nerve tonic in that it will, I don't know how it works, but it will, it's reported, and I'm here to tell you that it's true for me, that it helps you with any kind of stress, anger. I seem to be taking, and it could be old age, is a little bit of a factor, but I'm a lot more laid back with issues that when I was 25 years old, I would have been very angry about, and today I'm not that way, and I did some reading about, I'm constantly doing reading about nutrition. And that was one thing that I read about and purchased it. And sure enough, it really is kind of a nerve tonic, if you will. I don't know any other way to put it, but that it will calm you and give you a more balanced outlook on conditions that you deal with on a daily basis.
Okay. Last word, Doug?
Well, I think what you think and the emotions that you experience, that you demonstrate, can either raise your vibration or your frequency, spiritually speaking, or can lower it. So all of the negative emotions and the negative thoughts will lower your spiritual frequency, and this is my belief. And the elevated thoughts of love and compassion and the emotions of joy and all of these things, they will raise your spiritual frequency. So it's if you're on the spiritual path, it's my belief that as many people have expressed in this show, monitoring your thoughts and emotions and endeavoring to have, to the best of your ability, positive and emotions and thoughts will only help you on the spiritual path.
Okay, thank you very much, Doug and Paul. You're listening to the Global Village radio show being broadcast worldwide across the Internet. We're here every week. The website is douglasjamescottrell.com that you can go and sign up or ask your friends and neighbors if you'd like to have them come onto the show. Go to douglasjamescottrell.com and put their email address in there. Because it's permission-based, this is direct. It's the email is not sold or distributed to anybody else. It's only for ourselves. It is by permission only. And that's why you, my friends, have to put your private email address in there and update it often. Maybe you change your email address occasionally and you're not getting emails so as often as you should or like. It's okay to put it in and duplicate it from every time, every now and then, from time to time. International School of the Prophets.com is our Sunday service, which you're invited to come freely. It's a Zoom service, and we might also be able to put it on to the Blog Talk radio show and have a Sunday service here on our Global Village Network, and we're looking into how to do that. If you're interested in having a consultation with me, again, go to the website, douglasjamescottrell.com. For a little while yet, I'll still be doing them. I am getting pretty active and doing other things, and, you know, it's getting a little darker out there as the days go on, and as they say, you know, towards the end of my my career here. But anyway, I'm available for a little while yet. Again, thank you to the co-host Doug Bentley and to the producer Paul Hughes. You're listening to the Global Village Network. God bless you one and all, and may God provide for you all things that you need and that you deserve to have. We wish you health, wealth, peace, and prosperity. I'm your host, Douglas James Cottrell, saying good night. See you right here next week.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindPro Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell & Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.